84. Psalm 84. Psalm number 84. And when you find your place there, if you're physically able, would you stand? Out of respect to the reading of God's word, you pray for me. I've got just a little bit of a scratchy throat, and you know me, I preach scratchy anyway. So I think it was Sam Jones that said, I'm gonna preach my tomcat sermon. Somebody said, what's a tomcat sermon? He says, I'm gonna scratch everything. Amen. I like that. Amen. Psalm 84, verses 1 through 12, let's read responsively. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart in my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Father, again, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Please bless it to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 84 is a tremendous portion of Scripture. Church historians break it into one of two categories. They believe it was written either by David in flight from Absalom, and could we say again? Or, and I happen to tend towards the other, it was written by pilgrims during the Assyrian captivity who so desired to go up to Jerusalem to worship, but obviously were in captivity and were prevented from it. It starts out with, in verses 1 through 4, dwelling in the sanctuary. It says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And we see there that there's a love for the sanctuary. And in verse 2, it says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. Not only does the psalmist here love the courts of the Lord, but they long for the courts of the Lord. I was thinking about this today. I've never had a period in my 22 years now of being saved, Brother Jim, where I could not go to the house of God on a long basis. I mean, you've been sick once in a while, maybe miss a service here or there, but I think of people who right now would love to be here. And they just can't. You know what the psalmist said? He said, I long for the house of God. I talked to a lady today. They visited on Sunday. Sat right up here. They said they just loved the service. Loved the people. How much the people loved one another. All comments that I'm getting. You know, there's not only that love, but there's that longing. It, It's nice to go on vacation. You know, I think of Howlands. We love you. When you go to Florida, I always get a little sad. And when you come back, I always think, praise God, you're back. Amen. Because we long for you. We miss you. Amen. We're part of the body. You ever been away from your church? Maybe you went on vacation and you came back and you're like, whew, good to be home. Amen. With the people of God. And so dwelling in the sanctuary, there was love, there was longing. Look at verse 3. There's a couple looks that he has. He looks, he says, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. He says this here, that just like the sparrow is comfortable in her house, and just like the swallow has a house where she can lay her eggs, I want to be in the house of God. That's where I fit in. You know, I learned this early in my Christian life, and some of you may not remember this in your own life, but I remember early on trying to fit in both worlds. Yeah. Trying to fit in with my lost friends, who were my friends and still are, but realizing that I didn't fit in anymore. That I didn't belong in those places anymore. Old George Younce used to sing Thanks to Calvary. Remember that old song? Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man I used to be. And it ends with, thanks to Calvary, we don't go here anymore. Don't go to the, hey, you know where here is? The best place in the world for me is with God's people in God's house. I thank the Lord for it. Dwelling in the sanctuary, there's love, there's longings, there's looks. Verse 4 says there's life. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Sunday, just this past Sunday, and I do it often, I love to listen to our church sing. I really do. I love to listen to us sing. And so instead of me being up here singing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, I'll stop and I'll just listen. Because you know what it is? It's praise with life. You know, the newer crowd equates that with you got to have the rock band and you got to have the drums and you got to have... No. True praise to God has life. You know, we don't have to sing hymns like the funeral dirge. Blessed assurance. No. Blessed assurance, Jesus is my... There's life, amen. Thank God for that. There's life. So, dwelling in the sanctuary. And then it continues in verses 5 through 8 with drawing on the strength. We're going to look at that. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Verse 7 says, they go from strength to strength. We're going to focus on that. And then verses 9 through 12 talks about not only dwelling in the sanctuary and drawing on the strength, but delighting in the service. He says there, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Don't you like it when you go out of church and you say, man, that was good. Whew. All right, you go out on Sunday morning and say, whew. All right, let's get a bite to eat and I can't wait to get back tonight. Hallelujah, amen. He says here, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness, delighting in the service. Look at verse 6 with me, if you would. It says, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. The valley of Baca, the geographically, it's known only to God. I have studied and studied and studied and looked and looked and looked, and every commentary I've ever seen says nobody knows where it is. Just God. So geographically, it's known only to God. Historically, it was a valley in Palestine on the way to Jerusalem, and it was a very dry and desolate valley. So Baca, geographically, Baca, historically, Baca, etymologically. You say, what's that? That's the root of the word Baca. It means weeping. Weeping. Symbolically, it represents the deep and foreboding valleys of life. May I say, Praise God for the mountaintop experiences. Amen? There's lots of them in life. There's the births of our children. There's first words and first steps and all those great things. There's graduations. There's weddings. We've said it before. There's the greatest gift for not killing your children, grandchildren. Amen? It's a mountaintop. You become a grandma or a grandpa. That's a special thing. It's joyful. And think about our own salvation. What a mountaintop that is. Spiritual victories that God gives. Those are mountaintops. But you know, mountaintop is always sandwiched between a couple valleys, isn't it? Geographically. For every mountain, there's a valley on both sides. There's valleys of danger. I think of David as a shepherd, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, 34 and 35. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant hath kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him, and smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him." And think about that. There's valleys of danger in our lives. Well, you may not get attacked by a lion, but there is a lion who's looking to devour you. I think about David not only as a shepherd against Goliath. You remember that. Goliath was a man of war from his youth, and David was just a youth. Think about him fleeing Saul and fleeing Absalom that we've looked at so many times. There are valleys of danger in the Christian life. I think of missionaries. I think of Christians in countries where they have to hide to have church. They can't meet in the same place every week like we do. What a blessing that is, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder why more in our country don't take that privilege before it gets taken away. Say, "Oh, that'll never happen." That's what every country ever said where it happened. They said, "Oh, that'll never happen." I think about missionaries in countries where to even utter the name of Jesus Christ is blasphemy. There's valleys of danger. You know, not only in our lives, but there's also valleys of despair. Do we remember Elijah? The ultimate mountaintop? You say, "What do you mean the ultimate mountaintop?" Well, imagine if you had such a prayer life that you had not only held back rain, but you also just prayed down fire and slew all the enemies of God. I'd say that's a pretty mountaintop experience. One chapter later, under a juniper tree, requesting of himself that he might die. Don't be too hard on Elijah. We're pretty fickle sometimes ourselves. We say, "God's good," and 2 days later something happens and we say, "Why is God doing this to me?" Despair. Oh, we could go on and on about despair. One of the greatest prophets in Bible history was Elijah. I think about Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers. Preachers have more of Spurgeon's sermons than anyone else. Listen to this quote by Spurgeon. "Most of us are in some way or another unsound physically. Spurgeon suffered terribly with a joint disorder that was diagnosed as gout. He was forced to stay in bed sometimes for weeks at a time in excruciating pain. I have been brought very low," he wrote to his congregation during one long bout. "My flesh has been tortured with pain, and my spirit has been prostrate with depression. With some difficulty, I write these lines in my bed, mingling them with the groans of pain and songs of hope." Despair, danger, discouragement. I think of the Babylonian captivity, how discouraging that must have been to the children of God. By the way, particularly because they knew it was their fault that they were in captivity. God said, "Keep the Sabbath of years." Every seventh year, let the land rest. They said, fooey on that for 490 years. And therefore, God let Babylon come and take them away for 70 years. Does anybody know what 490 divided by 70 is? Seven. God, listen, God gets what's his. Hey, anybody ever realized that with your tithe early on? I have. God gets what's his. You can either give it to him and get the reward or let him take it. But he'll get it. Amen. He will. I think of discouragement. Hey, how about Job? When I think of a valley of darkness. Some of you have been in a valley of darkness. Job's life. We think about it, and I don't have time to preach on Job, but just imagine a funeral here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 caskets. Dark. Some of you have lost children. It's dark just to lose one, let alone all 10. So there are valleys of darkness in our life. There are valleys of discouragement, valleys of despair, valleys of danger. You know, there are valleys of doubt, aren't there? Remember John the Baptist? Behold, the Lamb of God, the one who said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At the end of his life, the one who said to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have her. At the end of his life, he sends two of his disciples out to Jesus. And you know what they say to Jesus? John wants to know, are you really him? Brother Bill, he knew. He was just going through a season of doubt. And I like what Jesus said about John the Baptist. He said, of those that are born among women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. So the next time you doubt, remind yourself that the greatest of them all, John the Baptist, had doubts too. Doubt, discouragement, darkness, despair, danger. How about the valley of difficulty? You know who lived in that valley? The Apostle Paul. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he goes into that laundry list of the things that happened to him. He said, you know, of the Jews received I 5 times 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. And he goes on and on. There are valleys in our lives of danger and despair and discouragement and darkness and doubt and difficulty. And then there's the last valley. The valley of the shadow of death. Stephen, great preacher. As far as we know, he preached one sermon. And they stoned him to death. Probably the most dreaded valley of them all is the valley of the shadow of death. But let's look at our text again. It says, who passing through the what church? Verse number 6, let's read it again. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. How is it possible to take these dry valleys of danger and despair and discouragement and darkness and doubt and difficulty and even death and make them a flowing well? I see three reasons in our text. Verses 5, 6, and 7. Look at it again with me. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Number one tonight, and I've got to hurry. I'm late. Number one, the presence of God. The presence of God can make a dry valley a well. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. You see, to have the strength of God, you've got to have the presence of God. Isaiah 43:2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. What is it that can allow God's saints to walk through the deepest, driest valleys? I'm going to tell you, it's the presence of Almighty God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Christian, you never go through a valley alone. God goes with you. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. David Livingston's life verse was Matthew 28:20. David Livingston said, it is the word of a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honor. The presence of God make a dry valley a well. Psalm 31:20 says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from strife of tongues. Number two, not only the presence of God, number two, the provision of God. Verse 7 says, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to report to you that God provides for his children, and sometimes in miraculous ways. Amen. Deuteronomy 2:7 says, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hands. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee, and thou hast lacked nothing. Remember, their shoes didn't even wear out after 40 years. Our text says they go from strength to strength. Where does that strength come from? The provision of God. The provision of God. God provides strength. There's a great character in history named George Mueller. Many of you have read about George Mueller, read to your children about George Mueller. He ran an orphanage in England in the 19th century. One morning, the plates and the cups and the bowls on the table were empty. There was no food, no money to buy food. The children were standing waiting for their morning meal when Mueller said, children, you know, we must be in time for school. Lifting his hand, he said, dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat. There was a knock on the door. The baker stood there and said, Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt that you didn't have bread for breakfast, and the Lord wanted me to send you some. So I got up at 2 a.m. and baked some fresh bread and have brought it. Mueller thanked the man. No sooner had this transpired than there was a second knock at the door. It was the milkman. He announced that his milk cart had broken down right in front of the orphanage, and he would like to give the children his cans of fresh milk so he could empty his wagon and repair it. That's our God. That's our God. We preached on Sunday about Abraham and Isaac and the ram caught in the thicket. That's our God. That's our God. God provides. Love that song. Isaac walked up the mountain, his father by his side, never realizing he would be the sacrifice. And when Abraham raised his hand to take his child's life, in his heart he must have wondered why. Sometimes God will take us to unexpected places, but in every situation we will find God will provide beyond what we imagine, so much more than we can fathom. He will supply. God will provide when we trust in him completely and take each step believing as a child. God will provide. The presence of God, the provision of God, and then lastly tonight, what is it that can make that dry valley into a well? Look at verse 6. It says, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. Not only the presence of God, not only the provision of God, lastly tonight, the pilgrimage of God. See, it says there that They were just passing through the Valley of Baca. Amen? Say, what does that mean, Pastor? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You see, when you're in that valley, ladies and gentlemen, you just remember, you're just passing through. Valleys don't last forever. Not good grammar, but it's good theology. Valleys do not last forever. Does that sound better? Amen. They're just temporal. We're just passing through. See, they were passing through. They were on their way to Zion. We sing that song, "We're Marching to Zion." Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The Valley of Baca was just on the way to the holy city. They were on a pilgrimage. Baca wasn't their final destination. Remember what it said in Hebrews chapter 11 about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, particularly Abraham? It said, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Hebrews 11:10. Verse 13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Verse 16, "But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." How is it possible to take the dry valleys of danger and despair and discouragement and darkness and difficulty and doubt and death and make them into wells? I'll tell you three things: the presence of God, the provision of God, and the pilgrimage of God. We're just passing through. Father, thank you for these truths from your word. Oh God, help us to take them and apply them, particularly those that are in valleys tonight. I pray that you would please, Lord, please bless those that are in the valley. Some have been a valley for a long time, going through difficulty. Lord, make it a well. Make it a well for them. Lord, I pray you bless now as we close our service. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. How about 5:17?